in the book of Genesis, and we're going to be looking at several things this morning. I think will give us a little perspective on heaven. So I want to speak this morning on the subject. He came, he's here now, and he's coming again. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to stand beside the tomb of Muhammad in the Alabaster Mosque in Cairo, Egypt, and listen to the Islamic guide boast of the fact, this is holy ground, and you are to be respectful while you're here, because the body of our founder, Muhammad, is in this tomb. And I thought, a dead hope. The Islamic hope rests in a tomb full of what Jesus called dead men's bones. But the Bible offers a living hope. Not too long after that, I stood in front of the empty tomb outside of Jerusalem, and the guide told us there, before you enter, you will notice there's a sign on the door which quotes the words from the angel in Matthew 28:6, because you're not going to be seeing a tomb in which the body of our Savior rests, but you're going to be seeing a tomb from which he arose. And so on the front of the door, entering the tomb where Jesus was, according to tradition, laid, are these words: he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Well, I walked inside, as the disciples did 2,000 years ago, and sure enough, it was empty. Nobody was boasting of dead men's bones where the body of the Savior lay. Of course, there was no body. And all started in the Garden of Eden when Eve disobeyed God. And as a result, disease, death, and desperation flooded the world. So I want to speak to you, first of all, about he came, Genesis 3. And in verses 14 and 15, this is after the fall. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, or hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I believe this is a promise of the coming Messiah. It says here, the woman's seed. Well, a woman doesn't have seed. The man does, but not the woman. This refers to the virgin conception, and I think coming of Jesus to deal with sin. And then if you go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, that very familiar passage there, Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings. So many people have referred in the scripture, we can give probably hundreds of references in the Old Testament to the coming of the Messiah, but I want us to look at the idea of a living hope in Christ. These have all been fulfilled. If we go through the scripture, we can find fulfillment. Matter of fact, if we take the two passages we just read, Genesis 3 and Isaiah 7, and then go over to Luke chapter 2, in our home for many, many years, every Christmas Eve, we sit down and read Luke chapter 2. We read about the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Last night we saw it in the DVD in our ladies' banquet last night. But notice, beginning in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, more angels, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Well, beautiful picture. We read that every year. Jesus was circumcised under Jewish law, chapter 2, verse 21. He was committed to the Father's purpose, dedicated to the temple, chapter 2, verses 22 and following. Then he was baptized to picture his death, burial, and resurrection, chapter 2, verses 21 and following. And then he spent his days on earth, approximately 30 years, revealing who he was through both preaching and miracles and by his love toward others. Then he was sacrificed for us. In Luke chapter 23, if you want to turn over to that, 23rd chapter of Luke, beginning in verse 44, we read this. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. So he was sacrificed for us. Genesis 3 is now fulfilled. God said that the serpent would have his head bruised by the seed of the woman. He came. Aren't you glad he came? 57 years ago I met him. I'm so grateful that he came. But here's another one for us. He is here now. He is here. His physical body is not here. He was glorified, ascended to heaven. He rose from the dead. And he did appear to his disciples, according to Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 36. He did appear to his disciples after his resurrection. Luke 24:36 says, And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of the boiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, and they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power
from on high.
How is he here today?
Well, if you go to the book of John, chapter 14, actually two passages, but chapter 14 is one we'll use right now. Jesus promised the world that he would always be present with the believers, every believer. If you think back to the moment of your salvation, now I'm so grateful when I got saved I did not have to understand theology, aren't you? I'm glad I didn't have to understand the hypostatic union of the two natures in Christ. I'm glad I didn't have to understand the difference between premillennialism, pre-tribulationism, and all that stuff. I'm glad that all I had to know was that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior and that Jesus loved me and died for me. And all I needed to do was repent and trust Him. I'm glad that it was that simple. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, because they're willing to trust the truth. So Jesus promised that he would always be with us by being within us in the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you look at John 14, beginning in verse 15, he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I like this phrase in the Greek New Testament. It refers to another of the exact same kind. There are two ways to say another. Another of a different kind and another of the same kind. This is the another of the same kind. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So he gives us a beautiful picture here. He talks about loving one another and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to think about this from Muhammad's rotting bones lying in a tomb in the Alabaster Mosque in Cairo, Egypt. Within viewing distance of the pyramids of Giza. And that's all the hope that Islam has. But Jesus' body rose from the grave, became glorified, fellowshiped with his disciples, and then ascended to the Father to complete his mission. He sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of us and to guarantee our living hope. A lot of people say, well, the problem with you Christians is you believe in pie in the sky by and by. I sure do, and I've tasted some of it now. Jesus is here when I pray. Every time I come to the Lord and pray, I sense his presence. Jesus is here when I witness to others. Jesus is here when I write my tithe check. Jesus is here when I read his word. Jesus is here when I reach out to a suffering person. Jesus is here when I stand against sin and people attack me for doing so. Jesus is here when a child has broken your heart and you're sitting at home weeping about how your child has turned out. Jesus is here when I run a bus and pick up kids from painful homes and bring them in and give them an hour or so of relief on Sunday morning. Jesus is with us all the time, and he's with us in everything that we do. Well, he came. He's here now. But what about his coming? A lot of people that have abused the coming of the Lord. I just saw the other day on TV, they're doing a study on some group that's sold everything and they've moved out to some place in Arizona and they're all sitting out there waiting for the end of the world. Somebody asked me, I said, what do you think about that? Isn't that noble? I said, no, Jesus said, occupy till I come. In other words, stay busy. Keep doing what you know to do is right. I'm sure some of those people are sincere, but if a firefighter rushes into a burning house and retrieves a doll out of a crib and believes sincerely that he has the baby, he can be sincerely wrong if the baby's still in the house and died. So you can be sincere and be wrong. Well, somebody said this about the second coming of Christ. When we look at the prophecies of Genesis, we look at the prophecies of Isaiah, we look at the coming of the Savior, his birth and all of that, and then his return to the earth after he ascended to heaven. One of my preacher friends said, That's full circle. Yes, it is full circle. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, you remember the story that the disciples had been told by Jesus to wait in the upper room. I went in that upper room when I was in Israel and walked around, and there were about 25 of us, and we decided we were going to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus." Thing. Boy, you hear that thing resound all through that. You know, all these people singing "All Hail the Power of Jesus." Thing. But in that upper room, they had locked themselves in for fear of the Jews and fear of the Romans. And some of their disciples were there, and they were wondering what had happened. Some of them didn't have any idea, and Jesus told them that they were to wait there. And he suddenly appeared in the room with them and told them that they were to receive the power from the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And then he ascended to heaven. And when he ascended to heaven, according to Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, probably these men standing by were probably angels. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So the Savior himself is coming back. This same Jesus, the ones the disciples served and walked with, the ones the disciples saw after his resurrection, this same Jesus is coming back. But another good word comes in John chapter 14, where the Savior himself tells us this. Look at the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, there are a lot of different statements that people have made about what Jesus meant. There's a liberal group that says that the second coming of Christ is only the moment that you trust him as your Savior and he comes into your heart. That's the second coming. Some people say that whenever you get baptized, the Lord spiritually comes down and blesses you, and so that's the second coming of Christ. But notice the context in which he talks about preparations in heaven and preparations for mansions. The word means a place of rest, a place without disturbing. It's a special place. And he's coming, he's preparing it for each of us. And then he says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." And then notice what he says here, "that where I am, there you may be also." I don't know how you can use those other explanations when we're going with the interpretation that our Savior himself gave. You're going to be with me. You're going to be with me. Paul understood it. He said, "absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." He understood it to be that. So the Savior himself confirms his return. But then the Apostle Paul, writing to churches during the most difficult time in history, I'm reading right now the history of the Roman Empire. And one of the things that I've noticed is all of the political and economic disturbance that was going on at the time that the Apostle Paul lived, the time that Jesus lived, the time that all of the disciples for the first 300 years were living. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to a group of people who were disturbed over everything that was going on around them, and also some false information coming to them. Some people were going around saying, "Well, you know, there is no real resurrection." Paul wrote again to the church at Corinth about people teaching that. But notice what he says. Obviously, there had been some discussion about whether there was going to be a real heaven, whether people were going to really be in heaven, whether they'd ever see people that they had known on earth before. And so Paul includes that in this passage of hope in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. He says, But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Here we have the word koinao, which means the sleep of death, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Now some people question, how can he say by the word of the Lord? Well, if you go back to the book of Galatians, you read that Paul was on the Arabian desert and actually met with Jesus Christ personally. That's what you call a one-on-one seminary. And he met with Jesus Christ personally, and we don't know what Christ taught him during that period of time, but he says here that what he's about to say came directly from the Lord. So here's what he said. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Remember what I told you about King James English? Which precede. You shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, there is again, the angel said in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner. And now Paul says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There it is again. Jesus said, you're going to be with me, John 14. Paul says here, we're going to be with the Lord. And we notice how he ends this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The word comfort means to encourage, means to reinforce security is the idea behind it. So the picture is beautiful. This is not a false hope based upon the false teachings of one whose bones lay rotting in an Egyptian tomb. Now this is a living, real hope, and it's based upon a person whose life was pleasing to God, a person whose sacrifice on behalf of the sins of mankind was acceptable to God, a person whose resurrection from the dead brought glory to God, and whose person was righteous and equal with God. So we can depend upon this hope, whatever you're going through in your life right now, whatever difficult time you're facing, whatever challenge, the hope is there. The other day I received a phone call, and the fellow said, could you come to the hospital and pray with my wife? And I said, yes. I said, how do you know me? And he said, well, he said, I don't know if you remember, but he said, about 20 years ago, he said, we visited Bible Baptist Church, and he said, you came to our house, and he said, you talked with us, and we started going to another church, and then after a period of time, we dropped out of church altogether, and my wife and I were having some difficult times. He said, to make a long story short, we're trying to get our lives back together, and he said, we're now living in the Adirondacks up near the Canadian border, and he said, we're going to a church up there, and he named the church, and I knew the pastor, it's a good church, good pastor. He said, but my wife's in the hospital here, we were visiting friends here, and she started having some problems brought over here. He said, the doctor says that she may have cancer, and he said, I just wondered if you'd come by and have prayer with us. So I went in over there. But what am I going to tell somebody in a situation like that? I'm going to tell them about this hope. I'm going to say, I read her and said, do you mind if I read something to you? And she said, I'm not asking you to heal me, you know that, right? And I said, yeah, I know that. I know you're not asking me. But I said, you don't mind if I pray and ask God to heal you? And she said, no, I don't mind. And I said, now, if for some reason God wants you to be with him, I want to read this to you. And I went back and I read John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I said, you know, all the troubles and all the trials and all the burdens and all the heartaches and all the disease and everything you've had to face here. She said, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there. I said, when you step into heaven, I said, it'll be totally different. And I said, the great thing about it is it lasts forever. And I said, you will have no memory of all the crises of this life here, because this would do nothing but be disturbing. I said, all of your remembrances will be of the Savior himself. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, her name is Marie. So I read it this way. Marie, let not your heart be troubled. Marie, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Marie, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told Marie. I go to prepare a place for Marie. And if I go and prepare a place for Marie, I will come again and receive Marie unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. She looked up at me and she smiled and she said, thank you for that. And I said, don't thank me. Thank the one that made it possible. Our hope is not based on the rotting bones of some false teacher in some tomb in some foreign country. Our hope is based on the resurrected Son of God. We can depend upon this hope. We know that Jesus is coming to earth again, and all the hellish aspects of this decaying world are going to disappear in the judgment of God. And according to John, our bodies will be changed like unto his glorious body. And we'll permanently step into eternity. I don't know about you, but you know, every once in a while I'm going through a difficult time, which is like all the time. Sometimes I'll go to a quiet place. I like to go by rivers or park. I like to sometimes drive up into a mountain and park. And I'll just sit there and I'll close my eyes and I'll imagine those scenes described in Revelation. The throne. And the beauty and color is so vast and intermixed around that it's like a giant rainbow on the floor around the throne. And then there's these creatures flying through heaven, Revelation says, and all they're saying is, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. And then there's a throne, and on him, on this throne is a lamb. And he takes the book and he opens the book. And everybody around begins saying, worthy is the Lamb who has redeemed us out of every tongue and every nation, and who has shed his blood and redeemed us by his blood. And they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's a living hope, isn't it? I mean, when somebody's desperate, we give them hope. We don't throw a drowning man a rock, we throw him a lifesaver. We don't throw a desperate person, Muhammad, we throw a resurrected Savior. And that makes all the difference. I'm so glad that in 1955, second row back, the song was sung by the congregation down in Jacksonville, Florida. Just as I am without one plea. And I remember stepping out and coming forward and taking the pastor's hand and said, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. What a difference that made. You ever wonder where you'd be without Jesus Christ? When I look back over my life and I see where the two directions diverged, I would have more money if I had taken the other turn. And I would have had eternity. I would have had more of the things of this life, but I wouldn't have had the joy and the hope that I have now. I'm glad I made the right choice at that time. Let's stand and pray, and we'll open the altar. If God's spoken to your heart, any needs you have, step out as we sing. Lord, speak to our hearts now in a very special way. The altar is open. We're coming to the time of year when we recognize the birth of our Savior. And we honor you, Lord, not only by remembering this time, but we want to honor you by living in a way which pleases you throughout the upcoming year. So speak to our hearts now as we open the altar. Speak in a way that only you can speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.